not proceed blindly with a new intensive layer of radiation that is not in our best interest. As I look into how to do such a survey, I hope you will give me your support however you can. A short helpful YouTube on smart meter radiation, I put it up at the top there, is I Was Fine. You can find it at the Grassroots Environmental Ed as a video. How smart meters impact lives. Those of us who are reporting symptoms are not abnormal human beings. It used to be that in science we paid attention when another living being fell ill from some environmental toxin. We need to do that now. The miners cherished their canaries, for when the canaries stopped singing, they knew that all was not going to be well for them either. They acted appropriately and got out of the mine. We need to do the same and take action in light of these wireless impacts on health before it gets worse. I want to remind us that the EPA does not oversee the task of researching these radiations and setting standards and guidelines. It is up to us to mobilize because the FCC and FDA are not acting on our behalf, on the behalf of our well-being in this matter at all. And I put the, you can search for these studies at Smart Meters Australia, symptoms after exposure to smart meter radiation. Thank you.
But folks can opt out of having that installed on their property.
Yeah. But what that's like $14 a month, and you have to know about it. And then what about the smart meters that are just, aiming it at where I'm living from the adjoining property? This is a serious problem. And for apartment dwellers to negotiate all that with your landlord? Yeah, that just, and I want to bring to your attention that there is another type of meter that does a much better job of calculating, keeping track of the, I'll just show it to you. It's called the Ferraris. I mean, if we're serious about wanting to track our utility usage, a digital meter, digital always mean gaps from one increment to another. So if it catches an intense load, like when the smart meter spikes, it carries that over the interval in between, and this is why they're inaccurate readings. People complain about their bills not being right. There's a Ferraris energy counter, and you see it gives actual in-time readout, not a gap-ridden digital anything, and it's not transmitting it through the air to cause health problems with people. So, yeah, it's not going to solve our climate problem.
Smart
Thank
meters.
You.
Rob?
Nothing new to report, just ongoing projects.
Are you working on that contract with Clover?
I am, yeah. I actually talked with them today about a couple of things, but yeah.
Yeah, there's Mr. Clover back there. So just as long as everybody's still working on it, it doesn't get forgotten.
That's a little kicky.
That's a little Clover. Jessica?
Water and sewer bills will be mailed out October 1st. Meters will be starting to read soon. There were 23 certified door postings for water sewer turnoffs. Water turnoff was on September 4th. We had 3 people on the list still by then. Delinquent tax penalties have been updated. We collected 12 delinquent tax properties and 1 prior year tax property this month. We've had lots of final reading and tax searches for properties that are being sold and closing. Fire protection agreements will be signed and mailed to Hillsdale and Claverick. Completed the Ring Squares updates for the Village Hall Court and Fire Department phone systems. Still trying to work all the bugs out with that. We also had a lot of people check out Forest Lake Keys. Research was done about the fire company budget with regards to the consolidation possible. Sewer debt service fee was transferred to a debt service account for the bond payment. Quotes for generators for the lift station were requested and received. I forgot to mention this too. The office will be closed Thursday, October 10th due to conflicting schedules. We're both out of town. And then we'll be closed Monday, October 14th for the holiday.
When you collect the delinquent taxes, the penalties, are they going into that special fund that we have for taking down houses?
When we post it, it just gets posted to whatever, there's the past year's taxes. So it's not like a special in the general account.
Because I think that was before, well, probably before Chrissy too, that we started that, where we took the penalties and put them into that.
We could do a transfer.
Yeah, we can definitely look into it.
Yeah.
We just got the numbers.
Oh, you're going away, so I'll stop and go over it with them. That's the way that we were able to take care of some buildings.
Okay, yeah, we can definitely look into it.
Library.
So buildings and grounds, computers have been moved into the old office back from the cultural center, allowing for more oversight. And now the cultural center is wide open again and available for exhibitions and programs without interfering with those needing the computers. John Kelly came to took a look at replacing the front and back door. The back doors can be replaced with an ADA compliant door, which guys haven't been done before. Because we have people from Richardson Hall struggling to get in, and same with strollers. Dave Boldevice helped me replace many burnt out fluorescent light bulbs, which makes the library look a lot brighter, almost looks like we painted it. Services, the Office of the Aging passed out farmers market coupons on August 16th with 7 seniors. We received a big bin full of donations for our school supply drive and have shared those with families. We had both of the Rheinstrom Hill programs with a combined total of 17. Faith and Joe from the board joined me at the fair for 5 hours to man the CCLA booth, which is Columbia County Libraries Association. We finally found a yoga instructor to lead gentle chair yoga classes. I gave a flyer to someone to take to Richardson Hall. Starting this week, in fact it was today, we are having after school programs. Today was Art with Amelia, and if you go by the library, you'll see lots of really bright chalk drawings outside. And then we're gonna have homework help Tuesdays, and then Lego challenges on Friday, just like 3:30 to 5, 3 days a week, just to have kids have a place to go and do stuff. Grants, etc. We pulled in 1,058 from the Bookit. Speed's Garage helped with that, thank you. $100 from Fidelity Charitable Fund, $104 in cash donations and fees, $60 donation towards DVDs. Upcoming, we're having a National Voter Registration Day on September 17th, if anyone needs to register, it can come to the library. September is also National Library Card Month. August stats, people in the library, we had 67 people. We had 2,120 circulation books going in and out. Free fridge visits are up to 193 this month. In-person programs, we had 67 people. Outside programs, 62. 5 new library cards. I've been wanting to add, and I think I will next month, incidents. Because since I wrote this report, I had so many incidents at the library. You probably know about the water.
Nope.
So the neighbor to the right of the library in the one building, you did hear that, okay.
I heard about that.
So that was probably thousands of gallons of water. And we also had teenagers up on the roof again. And a neighbor called out to them that she was watching. So that's been a problem, because we had a problem before. I've had some pranksters. That was not such a big deal, just messing with the sandwich board. So if anyone saw something that was inappropriate, it wasn't me. and little things going on here and there.
Do we know how they get on the roof?
I know that before they jumped from the balcony next door onto the roof. I don't know how they got on this time. I'm not sure who lives in that building, so.
All right. Because that's not Philmont Holdings anymore, is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Easy. It's got a nice open deck at the back.
Yeah, flat roof.
Very easy for kids to do that.
Yeah, so I go up there and I check the windows and make sure no one's tried to break in or whatever.
Thank you very much. Community Center, Doug?
Okay, Community Center report for August, submitted by Julie Baranese, the director. The center was checked during the month. The center was rented for our family party. The vaults under the playground equipment adjacent to the center is appreciated and an important safety measure, thanks to the DPW. Programs Columbia Green Addiction Coalition's program will be held on October 10th at 5:30 to raise awareness and educate our community about addiction. Refreshments will be provided. Scouts will be meeting 2 times a month. Amelia McIsaac is working with Julie on proposals for 3 upcoming workshops. And she thanks me and Deb for helping her with a center concern. That's it.
Thanks. Rob, you want to knock on his door and say he's ready?
Yeah, he was printing his report. He said he'd be right out.
All right, Sally, we can do you next.
Okay.
And I'll come back around.
Okay, good evening, everybody. So the Borough Grant Committee meeting was held early. Usually it's held on the 4th Tuesday. This August, it was held August 6th, and it was held at the library. Thank you, library. And it was attended by Borough Committee members, plus Deputy Mayor and Trustee Gilmore. The purpose of that meeting and the reason it was held at the beginning of August was it was held for Rice and Lipka Architect Design Team to present and discuss the refinement of their design concepts for sub-area 1, which is the community centre and waterfront park, and sub-area 2, the Canal Street area, to reach an agreed consensus so that Rice and Lipka could move forward to put the refinement into the next set of documents. And the meeting was congenial, very positive, consensus was reached, and that generated in response, Rice and Lipka required a letter so that approving so that they could move forward, which the board did on August 12th, last village board meeting. That letter was executed by the mayor, as motioned in the last meeting by the village board, sent to Rice and Lipka, so we're right on schedule. And they're now refining the last set of documents. So they're very happy, and it looks like we've got, you know, 2 very extraordinary projects coming through there. And then the other thing that happened on the BOA was I started the preparatory work to produce the draft of the RFP, which is the request for proposals for the zoning analysis and recommendations. It's a sort of hold up. Maybe we can sort that out right now, because Deborah had said she wanted to talk to you about something to do with that. Did that happen, Deborah?
Yeah, it did. I'm trying to think of the upshot. I mean, you know, I'm not sure how to proceed. I think that the housing needs assessment, that which will have, you know, zoning recommendations, as we've talked about, will be finished by the end of September. But it won't be adopted until the comp plan is adopted, which will be finalized by the end of the year and adopted in early February. And so I guess my question for you is, how do you see the, you know, how can we do the BOA one? I mean, I assume we can just do separate zoning evaluations and then, you know, merge them in our heads afterwards, or like, is there a way, are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the overlap. I mean, it, you know, in terms, that's what I've been saying. It's like, there's money in the comp plan, for instance, and I sent that out. I put Deborah on the email, and Robin, in my first correspondence with Steve Benson, who you appointed to oversee, right? So Deborah came back. So the scope of work under the BOA, which is, you know, it actually does cover all of the areas, basically, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to cover Highland Avenue. But if you look at the BOA area, right, it covers all of the districts, zoning districts, that they're priority sites. So it's, you know, if one was to take a percentage of Vermont, off the top of my head, you'd probably see it, you know, easily too. We're talking like a zoning analysis and recommendations, and under the BOA scope and the grant, we're going to cover like 80% of all of the districts. So that's the scope of work under the BOA. Deborah wanted to incorporate...
No, I was just asking questions. I don't have a particular agenda. I'm just...
Okay,
yeah.
But you had suggested no incorporation. And I said, no, we can't really extend that BOA...
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
...you know, scope of work, because it's a particular amount of money, right? But, just one second,
yeah.
Just to... By getting 80% analysis of the current zoning and local laws, with recommendations which will be made, you know, to the mayor and the committee that you're, you know, beginning to put together, like, that will give us a platform, Deborah, to be able to then take those recommendations and build in that next 20%.
So
I mean, by that motion, you know, Steve Benson, who's the head of, you know, head of the ZBA, and the BOA committee, and there'll be input, and there'll be community input on that. So it's going to be fairly comprehensive.
So just a follow-up question that, that, you know, Kevin was asking our housing consultant is, you know, is the zoning analysis for the BOA, you know, is it looking expressly at housing, or is it looking at serving the BOA and the aims and agenda of the BOA? And so that's...
No,
yeah.
It's aimed at, it's a BOA project, it's a BOA task,
mm-hmm.
but it's aimed at the district. So that's why I sent out the, you know, when I wrote the email with you and Robin on it, so that you could actually see what the scope of work is.
Well,
so
I understand the location.
It's not aimed, well, that's what I was explaining. If the BOA district is 80% of the districts. So we're going to get a platform of 80%.
But what about housing is the question.
So when the RFP, that's why I was brought you in on it, it's going to say to whoever gets hired, you need to look at the comp plan, where they are, right? And we know that these are all staggered. And then... The comp plan has like $1,300, I think it's either $1,100 or $1,300 in the budget, and that's aimed at zoning as well. And it seems to me, from reading the scope of work for the comp plan, that's aimed at doing land use maps.
Yeah.
So that's something that, again, whoever bids on the BOA piece will be able to use that and reference it. So we're going to give all of that information, because obviously if there's an update in the land use map, that's going to help, because that's going to affect the zoning districts.
So I'm wondering, thank you, Sally, that does help. Yeah, I can
yeah.
imagine
and
how they come together.
And it's important to know, you know, the housing, where the vision for the comp plan is going. How does the vision of, these are the things that this, you know, whoever gets the contract, they're going to be looking at that. How, what's the vision of the comp plan in comparison to the vision of the BOA? What's the, how does that correspond to the selected sites in the BOA and the district? So all of that is going to come into the scope of work, whoever gets hired, to be able to make the analysis of the existing zoning,
right,
and then write up additional zoning to be looked at. On top of which, also, because the lake, Summit Lake, is a BOA selected site, it's going to, the recommendations are going to look at the coastal policies.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So we're not going to be able to dredge a lake unless we have certain coastal policies in which affect the local waterfront. So that is.
So can I ask an additional? That makes a lot of sense, and I see how it can come together seamlessly. It's great.
Yeah.
So
well, I don't know seamlessly, but.
Right. But yes, not seamlessly, but how it how they work together, how they dovetail for the, you know, village-wide zoning, looking at zoning. So the follow-up question I have, and maybe this is for you, Brian, is since the comp plan has an interest in the zoning, would it be appropriate for Robin to be in the meetings for, or, you know, aware of who responds to the RFP and looking at, you know, to have a involvement in selecting the contractor for doing the zoning analysis? So maybe that's something you can think about and not answer.
Since we are, you guys are talking about getting recommendations and changes and everything to the zoning. I did have a meeting with Steve Benson earlier this month. Or late last month, and he and I, we have come up with a plan. He's going to put some people together, and all your recommendations and your recommendations are going to go directly to him.
Yeah.
And then he's been through our zoning laws. He knows the problem areas. He's put a lot of time into this already. I got to give him credit.
Yeah.
Must be nice to be retired. He will then bring them back to the village board.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it ought to work. I told him I didn't care whether his committee came just strictly from the zoning board or else he could shop for people.
Yes, that's right.
I left that in his hands.
Okay.
So, you know, whether Robin's involved in all these meetings, I don't know, but anything to do with the zoning, I think Steve ought to be here, because if he's going to run that show,
yeah,
he needs to know everything.
Everything. That's why he was on the emails.
Yeah.
And so actually, it was really, the email was written stemming from that meeting we all had, was he being to Steve Benson.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know what? Deborah needs to be on this, and Robin at the get-go, so that nobody's in the dark as to where we're going with this.
And I think it makes sense to have Robin or somebody from the comp plan committee there as well, because
they,
they're going
to, you know,
need,
when they can, you know, it's great to know that you had the meeting, so thanks, you know, and Steve Benson is so thorough, he will have thought this through brilliantly.
Yeah,
right?
he's all over it. He's,
yeah.
And
then,
that's why I put them there.
And then they'll work directly with whoever gets hired, so they're going to be involved in the hiring. That's why the RFP has to be looked at by Steve and whoever he brings.
Yes.
So that everybody starts out on, you know, on the page together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're involved. So if Robin wants to come to a meeting, great. If you want to come to a meeting, great. I mean, you know, zoning affects housing, it affects your projects, affects the comp plan, and it's got to be an open dialogue there to, you know, to be able to maximize the best changes that need to take place.
But
so, you know, if housing, for instance, Deborah, in any of the districts, the recommendations are going to be fairly universal,
yeah,
right? Where what you apply for housing in one zoning district is going to be fairly.
And he will pick and choose through the recommendations. He'll see if they're any good. He'll see if there's a need for them. between him and his committee.
And are you?
And then he'll bring them back to us.
Yeah, I'm hoping that when, as the person gets hired, that there'll be some meetings where Steve will be able to work with that professional, so that it's not a situation that this professional does the work and then takes it to Steve Benson, who then decides. It's got to be more inclusive than that.
So along those lines, I guess that's what a clarification from what you're saying. You're saying that Steve should be involved in anything that involves zoning.
Anything to do with zoning.
Yeah.
So can he be involved, or is it appropriate for him to be involved in the RFP process?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why
he won't shy away from that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why that email was sent out, literally beginning to prepare the RFP.
Yeah.
You know, right, so he's got to be involved in the drafting of the RFP.
He and I are of the same thinking.
It's not a fait accompli, yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to be involved all the way through.
All the way through.
So one other thing that I think Brian, I had made you aware of, that we have some really great institutional knowledge in Lee Time. And the information from the email exchange I was copied on is now in Steve Benson's hands. But it's problems that Lee has run into over the years and his recommendations for what needs to be changed. Just on a logistical level, like errors and things that contradict, regulations that contradict each other. So I'm just putting that out there. We have some really good information.
Yeah, perfect. Now is the time to do this. That's the purpose of it. And then the other thing I just wanted to, suggest this. Because we have a BOA, we can also access additional services for zoning from the DOS.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, get a little bit of assistance there too. So because you don't want to be doing one project and it falls short, right? I mean, this needs to be a comprehensive update in the zoning, seen by the need from the zoning board, from the building inspector, and the mayor, and all experiences using the zoning, and it's in need of updates. So it should be a universal shared project to be able to get a comprehensive result.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. Good. And then my only last piece, thanks for that exchange. The LWRP, the Watershed Advisory Committee, the next meeting is October the 9th. And again, we're still grappling, or Lavella is still grappling with Task 9, which is the description and assessment of water bodies and watershed resources. So it's going to be a huge chunk of work when it's finally done. So we're hoping to get the draft again and then have the meeting on October 9th. That's my report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Vern?
Month of August, we had six calls to service, 136 property checks, 5 UTTs issued, 50 warnings, 2 parking tickets. And then per our meeting, we have our meeting now.
Perfect. Because I was going to ask about it.
For the code enforcement and all that.
Yeah.
So
about sexual harassment training.
That too. So I'll get the date. We just have to do the daytime one. That's the only thing we have left.
We've already had it.
Right. It's already been done for...
I don't think I was there. Was I there?
It's a workshop.
Is that the workshop?
The workshop I missed, the one I missed all year, a couple weeks ago?
No.
It's been a little bit.
Ago.
You may have had it. It was
I
there,
had
right?
The fire department already, but I have to take it. Anyway.
We just have to schedule a daytime one, so as soon as we get that one, we'll let you know.
That's what I need to attend. I missed the last one, so I need to attend the daytime one with the DPW guys. That's what I was asking about.
All right.
Okay.
I have a question on the report that you do.
Yep.
Because we were talking about code enforcement and the things that Eli will probably be doing.
Yep.
Maybe could you add a category to your report for those kind of things?
Yep. Yeah.
I think that would be useful so we know what was happening.
Yes.
So in case everybody doesn't know what we're talking about, the village board has seen fit to give the code enforcement part of the building inspector's job to the police department, which means unregistered cars, grass too high, stuff like that, the police department is now gonna handle that aspect of the code enforcement part. So that's what they're talking about. All right. Climate Smart, Tom's not here.
We have an update.
Okay.
I am pleased, well, am I allowed to say it? I wonder if it's, if it hasn't been announced yet,
When in doubt, don't let it out.
Okay. Okay, I will withhold and I'll tell you some good news next month. We are, working with Jeff and others to, very hard this month, to try to, complete certain actions. They're actually actions that we've already taken, and so we're just trying to document them. And that will, if we complete that by the end of the month, we stand to get $100,000, in grant money for, doing additional projects to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So there's just been a ton of, you know, just a lot of work and communicating happening from the Climate Smart Committee. And I think we've reached certain benchmarks for signing up residents for community solar. We've already gotten $5,000 for that. We are now about, I think, 10 signups away from reaching tier two, which gives us access to more grant money and more payment points. And for anyone who doesn't know, if anyone is interested in community solar and signing up, there's information on the website, and you can contact Michael Sesserman by email or me, or call me. My phone number's on the website, and we'll walk you through it. But basically, there's a program that saves you 10%, guaranteed 10% on your bills if you sign up for community solar, to have some of your electric be provided by solar energy. It's a good deal.
And
that's it.
Climate Smart's this Saturday, right? Climate Smart Carnival?
Yes, thank you. And there is the Climate Smart Carnival this Saturday.
11 to 3 at the Columbia County Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. And we're, thank you.
Comprehensive plan. I was with Robin today, and she's having trouble with the engineering firm. And she really didn't have anything to report to me. She was going to get a hold of the firm tomorrow and figure out what they're going to do. So there isn't much of a report for that one. DPW in the water. Cliff and I are in search of a generator for the lift station. I'm trying to get in touch with Ed Harkin to get that pipe changed before bad weather. He's short of help, so everything's slowing down for him. On a personal note, like I said before, I met with Steve. We had a couple other meetings and spoke with Bobby McFarland. The main thing I've been working on is trying to find an engineer for the mill project. I tried to get a hold of one of our local people, but he didn't seem to want to bite. So Rob gave me a couple names tonight. I'll get a hold of him. And then I've been in touch with Bobby, and I think Bobby should be involved in the person that, with the person that we pick, because he's going to have to do most of the work with him. So other than that, it's been an interesting month. Doug?
Okay. Well, as Sally mentioned, I attended that BOA committee meeting at the beginning of last month. Did some property checks. I want to thank DPW for helping clear the area where the police cars are kept. We took out a whole lot of garbage, and Vern was very cooperative as well, just helping us move things around. Worked on some community center issues, and Deb was involved with that too. Attended the workshop meeting, went to the housing meeting, and I had several phone calls and comments from the public over the past month, and was able to do all that. That's it.
Thanks. Jason?
Just typical business this month, nothing to report.
Skippy?
Yep. I got, I've already talked to Jimmy, and he's gonna take the bull by the horn and finish up the sidewalks on Maple Avenue. He's gonna talk to Louis a separate time.
Yeah.
So that'll eliminate that problem. And then on 11/2, which is on a Saturday, they're gonna have a big truck day up to the community center.
Sweet.
And I was more or less invited to do some of the work onto it. So we're gonna try to get some big tractors from Zach down there. Dump trucks, my own truck. Who said, Doug, was you saying well driller?
I'll ask. We'll just ask anybody that has anything.
Anybody's got a big truck that you can come up there between 11 and 1 on that Saturday, so the kids can get around, and most of them probably don't even know what they are. But it'll be fun.
What day is that?
11/2.
I was wondering if maybe the police might want to just bring a car and I don't know, can you let the kids look inside and
lock them in the back?
Throw handcuffs on them, straps, throw them in the back. They actually, it was the town of Kinderhook did something very similar for the playground kids. The state police came, they had a car there, so they had stations. The fire department was there, they talked about the trucks, kids got to little hands-on stuff, rescue squad was there, state police, state DOT, so we can have a car for that.
Yeah, and if you want to invite anybody else that you might know, that'd be great, and I believe Julie's gonna do some lunch, for everybody free, and just a fun thing for the kids for a couple hours.
You good? Are Louis' trucks gonna be there?
Skip and I just got the date set and the hours. We haven't really talked.
Just make sure they're clean.
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
Whose trucks?
Louis.
Oh,
one from up there, and he's got a crash that he can bring too.
Okay.
But I just want to make sure that they're clean.
Yep.
All right.
Deborah?
We talked about Climate Smart. I worked on that this past month, including going to the Climate Smart committee meeting, helped out with some community center stuff, spent a lot of time researching EV charging station, the most economical way to get our EV charging station at the library online again, and it looks like we're coming up with some solutions for that. There's a little confusion about the EV charging stations and their purpose, and it's not so much to make money, but as to provide a service to community members and also to people coming through town. And it looks like with some of the new companies we might be working with that we will pretty much be covering our costs.
Because I wrote back to you about that situation, and Rob, maybe you can verify, am I right? We cannot lose money on these electric cars. We can't gift.
You can't use village taxpayer dollars to reimburse car charging, correct?
Right.
So we have to watch out for that. We have to watch the numbers.
Yeah, we do. We do. And we're looking into getting cheaper software so that the new software would be $360. And Jess and I were looking at the numbers, and it looks like we were making about $275 in 6 months. So in a year, that's $550, and it would cost, the current software is $500 a year. And the new software might cost $360.
Does that include the cost of the charger?
The cost of the charger is paid for by the Climate Smart Communities grant, so there's no cost to the village for the chargers.
Is that coming out of the library's budget?
No, that's a good point. I don't know where it's coming out of, but that cost needs to be covered as well. So we'll include that.
But the electricity is running per meter.
Right. Probably. Yeah, it still tells us the usage.
I don't see the electric though.
Yeah, you guys don't, it's paid by our solar credits, there's not actually like, there's very few nice lake bills like that, like, no, there's very few nice lake bills that we actually.
So you're on top of watching all the numbers?
The solar stuff.
All the numbers?
Oh, yeah. I have a whole spreadsheet, I do it every month.
And Jason asked to get a return on investment printout on the existing charger. A scenario for how long we would, it would take, yeah, just to get a return on investment for that. And I'll get one of those from the new, this potential new company that we might be working with that's a little cheaper. And hopefully have that shortly.
Well, the charger that we have now, that was paid for by a grant.
Yeah.
That was one of Tom's first grants. I think we paid to have it hooked up. And I was in favor, I'm still in favor of having an electric car charger. Because I don't want Philmont to be the only municipality that doesn't have one. So, and we made, when we did that, we anticipated being more. So we're able to run more down there because we made provisions when we poured that base. And I think there's provisions for 4 or 5 down in the new parking lot. So there are gonna be some around. I don't know.
The real return on investment comes when you put in these fast chargers, which are very pricey, but there may be some money that we can get for that to when we have our new parking.
That's where that's coming from. Fire department?
14 calls for the month. We had 4 calls just for a routine of hay bale, which I missed. I was out of town for that. So I'm assuming it's out at this point. What's interesting here to me is that there's 15 calls year to date. There's more than the police department. So it's wild to think that we're running this program on a volunteer basis in the village. So I'm happy to say that we are getting it done. And that's all really to report. Oh, except we went to the Columbia County Fair and marched around, and that was fun. That's it.
One thing I forgot to add, I referenced it, was the housing needs assessment that is online now on the village website. And I did mention that the policy framework will be available by the end of the month.
All right, correspondence, there's a list on the table, hard copies in the office. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to move the October Board of Trustees meeting from October 14th to Tuesday, October 15th at 7 p.m. due to Columbus Day.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to put out for bid the furnishing of No. 2 fuel service and maintenance for the Village of Philmont Municipal Building, Library, Community Center. Bids to be opened at the October 15th board meeting.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to put out for bid the furnishing of propane service and maintenance for Village of Columbus Municipal Building, Library, Water Tower Building, and DPW Garage.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Jonathan Wendover to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint Emmanuel Lucas to the Village of Philmont Volunteer Fire Department as a member.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the agreement modification with NYSERDA for the Clean Energy Communities Program.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign payment request No. 1 for the Smart Growth Comprehensive Plan update.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to accept with regret Lee Hines' resignation as code enforcement officer effective December 31st, 2024.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to credit account 940, Gabrielle Zeltzer, in the amount of $212.63 for the sewer portion only of the July invoice due to a leak.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to reimburse Jason Detzel in the amount of $5,790 for approved community day expenses.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right, and we have resolution number 11 for 2024, authorization for the Village of Philmont Justice Court to apply for a Justice Court Assistance Program grant.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Unfinished and new business?
Can I use this time to add one other thing I forgot to mention, which is that we are now a pro-housing community. And that's good news for a number of reasons. You know, it basically says that we recognize the need for additional housing. And what that allows us to do, though, is it gives us access to a number of grants that we couldn't otherwise apply for, including the New York Forward and DRI grants. Yeah. So that's done, and thank you, Jess, for your help with that. And also, really tremendous thanks to Leeheim and Stephen Benson, who did tremendous amounts of work of cataloging information for that and making that happen.
I got an idea I just want to put out there. Because over the years, we've had many times when people are talking about speeding and unsafe driving in the village. And now, legally, we can reduce the speed limit to 25. And I'm not sure what I think about that right now, but maybe we should just put it out there as an idea to think about. I don't know if you have any take on that, Vern, or if, Rob, if anybody in the county has lowered their speed limit, but I know it would require some engineering and the state input, but I guess I just want to say at this point, let's think about that.
City Hudson did it.
Well, that's a little bit different than Village of Philmont.
No, I know, I'm just saying that they reduce it, but that's, but you're not talking 217, the state would have to do that.
No, we could do that, because in villages and cities, we can do it with state engineering input.
Okay.
And how far out can we do it on Carpenter? Because, man, people are speeding.
Only to the Village line.
The DPW?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, with the cars today and the engines today, 5 miles an hour really doesn't, it seems like an awful lot of work to go through.
Yeah.
For what you're gonna get out of it.
You're, it's not the village side streets necessarily, other than Summit Street and Main Street, if you have.
Well, we have it on Maple Avenue. What I'm also thinking, I mean, I'm not advocating for anything right now, but when the bicycles all start coming through, right now, these people on these electric bikes are zooming up Maple Avenue. And, you know, I'm trying to nose out of my driveway, and Deb has probably felt that too, and all of a sudden, they're, no lights on, no nothing like the motorcycles are going to have. So, I don't know how much it would cost to do.
I think it's a lot of work for a little bit of return.
What about more enforcement of this speed limit?
Good.
You know, there's more traps.
When we set on Main Street, or on Maple, or we set on Summit, it, you know, it curves it, and we just have to continue to do our due diligence on that. But, I mean, in time, I think you're right, you know, Doug, it's just gonna be the enforcement on electric bikes and things like that, you know, whether, you know, the helmet laws, the lights, everything else, because they have to follow vehicle and traffic law. They're not exempt from that. Bicycles right now are still, they have to, you know, follow those laws. So it's just a matter of to start enforcing that and also enforcing the speed on them. You know, they'd have to adhere to that.
Can they go that fast?
Oh, yeah. Some of those electric bikes.
The one I said.
Absolutely.
They go, but not much more, like 20, well, some maybe, but like 27.
There's a guy in Hudson that's got just a scooter that I bet you does 45 miles an hour. Scooter. It's not even a bike.
Wow.
Like, not to say, but he's got a prosthetic leg. I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but that thing flies. Like, I'm like, whoa. Like, I couldn't believe it went that fast. Like, I mean, I watched it. I observed it. I mean, I'm pretty good about calibrating speeds. I mean, I'm pretty close, but I'm telling you right now, that guy was moving.
I used to be terrified to drive through Philmont about 10 years ago to get a ticket. So just, I don't know, were you the chief back 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Officer Michael, maybe?
Yeah.
Mustache used to pull me over all the time. And I had to stop speeding. Just saying, it used to be tough here. Cause I don't think it's as tough as it used to be. That's my comment. So.
Well, it can be. All your folks have a phone. I mean, you're going to get the phone calls. I mean, it's a lot of it, honestly, it's not the locals.
It's not.
The outside.
Yeah,
it's the outsiders.
Coming through
a lot of, you know, just courtesy warnings to locals, but, you know, tickets every now and then, so.
Well, at least if we get a lot of complaints now, we can lower the speed limit. Whereas before, we always had to say, it's 30, we can't do anything.
That law changed, is that what you're saying?
The law changed, yeah.
And I have a question. How much are those fancy things that say your speed is, you know, the flashing thing? Do we know how much they cost?
Village Ganderhook, I could figure it out for you. They put a bunch up.
Yeah, because those are
They found that people either, and it'll log it and give you data. They found that people either slow down or they race, like it's a drag strip to it, see how fast they can make the numbers go.
So you could do that, like the ones that are mounted on the poles, like one on Summit Street, one on Maple, you know, the smaller ones.
Yeah.
The portable ones, they're a little costly, but anything, you can't put any of that stuff, has to be permitted through the state on 217. So just like that.
But
you have
Summit
that,
and
you have
Maple, like you're
Summit,
saying, that's
Maple,
where
you can just purchase them and just get them on the poles and get them up.
Because maybe we could get grant money
and flash,
for that.
I mean, you get the, you know, people start seeing the red and the blue light, you know, once they hit that 5 miles per hour speed limit, and all of a sudden, you see people hit the hooks, so.
When did Kinderhook, you say Kinderhook?
Yeah, I can figure it out. They bought them, I don't think they were, don't quote me, I mean, it was a few hundred dollars, I think, maybe a little more. The ones you put on the pole.
They put on the pole, the square ones.
See if it's helping, like you say.
Yeah, I'll follow back up with them, because they did that, and then they don't have police, they did enhanced patrols.
Yeah.
Even though they have state police barracks in the village, but.
Right. I'd be curious to know also what the mobile, portable ones are, if Kinderhook research, whatever, if they happen to know. I can look it up.
All right, you get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Good night, Phil.
We have one on 23D, and we have one on that Stumble Road.
Yeah, I forgot about those.
They bought some.
Clavrick was hit for, yeah, they're the ones that are on wheels, the portable ones.
Really? Do you know how much they were?
No, slow down, you're speeding, you know, too fast, slow down.
Actually, in the town of Clavrick, they just did the permit for it too, through the permit engineer, so you might be able to piggyback and be able to put on a 217 on the town of Clavrick.
Wow.
Because it might not even have to worry about the permit for here.
We already got the okay with the permit.
Right,
so maybe,
that's what I was saying, it was done, so.
So maybe we could just move them around and like, or.
Louis in charge of that, we just bring it to the board, get the okay, early, see what you want to put.
Yeah, see if we can move one to Philmont, give me the okay, and then I'll have Louis move one to Philmont.
I'll let you know. If not, we'll get on the road.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.